Where you want me? So I always like how we talk about Republicans and Democrats. We've been talking about these parties for decades, right? Right. And we talk about these parties as if there's any real difference between them when it comes to the issues that really matter or should really matter. If you're a citizen, if you're a taxpayer, if you're a consumer here in the United States of America. And I want to say a couple things here because, you know, my news outlet for years has been, you know, it started as a political site. Fitz News has been a political site. You know, we've done a lot of true crime in recent years. We've done a lot of justice work in recent years. But at its core, Fitz News was a political site, which broke down the purported differences between these parties, between candidates within these parties. But increasingly, and again, I've been doing this for two decades now, there's no difference. This is the same coin. You flip it heads, you flip it tails, you get the same thing. People aren't battling for control. They are battling for who just grips the rudder. That's it. The rudder doesn't change direction. It's stuck. The ratchet doesn't move but one way. It is a definitional one-way ratchet. And so there's not an argument over, you know, fiscal conservative versus fiscal liberal. No. There's an argument over who's holding on to the rudder, the stuck rudder, that's literally driving this republic off a cliff. I did a story shortly after Christmas. I think it was the day after Christmas. And it was on the latest omnibus bill, $1.7 trillion, people. $1.7 trillion, just to fund part of the government for the next 10 months. Doesn't address entitlements, doesn't address interest payments on the national debt, which, by the way, are approaching half a trillion a year. Within a decade, there will be $1 trillion a year interest payments just on the national debt. Again, we used to talk about the national debt. Oh, we'll worry about that later, you know. We don't have to worry about that now. It's somebody else's problem. But $1 trillion a year just to pay the effing interest on the debt? There's a great column, by the way, on Fitz News this week by our guest columnist, Prelo Alexander, which addresses that. If you haven't seen that column, check it out. But he offers up some harsh, if you will, but frankly, some common sense suggestions that cut to the very heart of what's wrong with this country. And what's wrong with this country is that as individuals, as a culture, and sure as hell as a government, we've got this entitlement problem. We think it is owed to us. And not only do we think it's owed to us, we think we don't have to ever pay it back because that's somebody else's problem. Well, guess what? I'm in the first generation where it is my problem. Dylan Nolan, our director of special projects behind the camera, 23 years old next week. Sorry, dude. Good luck getting that Social Security check, bro. My seven kids. I mean, what kind of generation does this to its children, to its future? But anyway, Republicans, and again, I'm going to do my baby quotes here because I live in South Carolina, by the way, a state where the Republican-controlled General Assembly has been ranked the most liberal GOP legislature in the country 3 years running. And folks, they're going to make it four this year. Guaranteed ya. Anyway, Republicans in Washington, D.C. this year, you know, they took control of the House of Representatives very narrowly. They've got 222 votes, I believe, just over the 218 required for a majority. But they're trying to elect a speaker, a leader. And apparently in Washington, nothing can happen in the Congress until the House elects a speaker. So no bills can be discussed. In fact, they don't even swear in the new members, one of whom, Russell Fry, coming from the 7th District here in South Carolina. Not even sworn in yet. Doesn't get an office budget yet because, again, they haven't picked a leader. And we're taping this on a Friday afternoon. There have been over a dozen votes at this point in an attempt to get a speaker. And the media has portrayed this as you've got basically 20. I think that number has since dropped to about 15. But you've got a handful, more than a dozen, ultra-conservative, MAGA-conservative, whatever you want to call them, Republicans who simply will not vote for Kevin McCarthy, who is the speaker nominee. He's the former House Minority Leader. He was a minority leader under former Speaker John Boehner, or I'm sorry, former Speaker Paul Ryan, rather. A guy who's been up there forever, California moderate. Again, I don't like or dislike him. I don't know enough about him. But the lawmakers who oppose him do not believe he is adequately committed to getting serious about reducing those deficits, reducing that debt. And in fact, one of them is a South Carolina lawmaker, Ralph Norman. Now, he flipped at the very last minute on the, I believe it was the 11th or the 12th vote for McCarthy, and said he would now support his speakership. But originally, Norman was one of the first five people to come out against him, said, I'm not going to support him because he doesn't, you know, he's not serious about reducing the deficit, eliminating deficits and reducing the debt. He's not serious about that. I won't support him. I'm not a Ralph Norman fan, by the way. In fact, I can't think of, I like Nancy Mace. I think Nancy Mace is doing good things. But other than her, I really can't think of anybody in this delegation that blows my skirt up. I mean, they all, you know, very status quo, very pro-establishment. Norman, one of the worst crony capitalists you can imagine. You know, he was mixed up in this botched Panthers deal up there in York County that my news outlet has focused on, exposing that crony capitalist deal. He stood to benefit richly from that agreement. But he's got a point on this. He's got a point on this. And again, I don't know the particulars of the negotiations that made him flip from being opposed to Kevin McCarthy to supporting him. But guys, we got to start talking about this. Because that road that we've been kicking the can down for literally decades, we are at that brick wall. It is literally staring us right in the face. The can no longer be kicked. Again, when that interest on a debt is consuming, again, by the end of the decade, over $1 trillion a year, what do you do? And I want to back this tape up a little bit because so many people in this current climate are going to say, oh, well, it's Joe Biden's fault. First of all, Joe Biden doesn't know where the hell he is. Okay, well, let's just be honest. It's the whoever the teleprompter loader for Joe Biden, it's that person's fault. No. Donald Trump is his fault, too. Again, right before he left office, right before everything went nuts on January 6th, he signed a bill which he himself called a disgrace. But he signed it. Another massive COVID stimulus. And again, these things were Christmas trees. People got, just like that omnibus, that $1.7 trillion bill I was telling you about earlier, these things were just giveaways to bureaucracies, to special interests, to pet projects in lawmakers' districts. Same thing. And again, doesn't matter whether it's Republicans, doesn't matter whether it's Democrats, they're all doing it. None of them care about routing that kind of relief to where it actually will do some difference, which is small businesses, sole proprietorships, individual taxpayers. No. It's all about the corporate giveaways, the special interest giveaways, pork infrastructure projects, BS in their districts that they can put their names on. Again, Republican, Democrat, there is no difference. And I'm gonna put it to you this way. We will never get serious about the issue of the damning impact of our debt and deficits in this country. We will never get serious about it within the construct of the two-party state. Won't happen. Won't happen. It's that old adage about once they realize they can get reelected by giving money away out of the treasury, country goes bankrupt. Democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. Some Scottish minister said that. Look it up. Anyway, the impact of this on South Carolina, we'll have to see. Ralph Norman, I think some people have suggested he may face a challenger in a Republican primary because of his opposition, initial opposition to Kevin McCarthy. We'll see. Former chief of staff in the White House, Mick Mulvaney, organizing those efforts. Mulvaney actually held that seat before Ralph Norman. Mulvaney, not a Trump fan, not a Ralph Norman fan. But also, let's not forget, Trump tried to get these guys to switch to McCarthy several days ago. They wouldn't do it. They ignored him, which is another sign of Trump's weakened clout within the Republican Party, which I believe could be very interesting come 2024 when he starts coming to South Carolina again, asking for votes in the first and the South presidential primary. It'll be very interesting to see if that Trump machine in South Carolina, you can debate all you want how much of the GOP establishment Trump controlled nationally, but there was never any doubt he owned the SCGOP. Literally said jump. SCGOP chair Drew McKissick said how high. Governor Henry McMaster said how high. owned the establishment of the Republican Party here in South Carolina. So is that still going to be the case? I mean, you can only call the cavalry so many times and then they don't come when people say, wait a minute, you got no cavalry. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But again, this news outlet started as a political website, but this is so much bigger than politics, people. This is literally the future of the republic, the viability of this republic moving forward, the full faith and credit of the United States government. Does it mean anything? Or is it just Bitcoin in the Bahamas, you know, where these kids down there blowing billions of dollars? I mean, is that what we've become? Or is it even worse than that? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, we got to find out soon, and we will never find out again if we are relying on Republicans and Democrats to solve it. Because whether it's been all Republicans, all Republicans, part Democrats, there has been no formulation of that equation that has gotten us anywhere near fiscal sanity, fiscal discipline, and the sort of course we need to chart a responsible way forward for this republic. It's simply non-existent. So again, count on Fitz. You won't hear that from the mainstream press. They love to do the two-party thing. Let's pit red team, blue team, hardcore right, ultra MAGA, ultra progressive, AOC versus whoever. Don't fall for it, people. They're all bankrupting your country.
Fucking solid. God damn.